Welcome to Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you for joining us today as we start our program talking about the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail, the symbolism behind the mystery, with my guest and the author, Henrietta Bernstein. Now, this particular work is fascinating because it comes from a woman who is the director of the Kabbalah Research Foundation. She's written another book entitled The Kabbalah Primer. We'll talk a little bit about that. And symbolism. What does it mean in regards to our past, present, and where will symbolism take us? Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
If you start taking a look at language, you look at the characters used in the various languages, those are nothing more than symbols. Symbols that we use to create the words that we use to communicate, although some would say we're not doing a very good job of that these days, and so maybe we need to take a look at that as well. Well, we're going to take a look at some of the more spiritual, or I don't know whether you'd put it in the category of religious, symbols. Some would call them literal. They're actually physical things that exist. Others say that they're nothing more than symbols of the divine, of the universal power, and what is available to us. We're going to be talking today with Henrietta. And is it Bernstein or Bernstein? I'm never able to get that down.
Bernstein.
Ark of the Covenant and Holy Grail. You had to choose two of the items at the top of just about everybody's list that they're looking for. They're trying to find the meaning thereof. That must have been quite a challenge to take on.
Yes. It was interesting, and it is interesting.
And it's a pleasure to have you on the program. And then, of course, as I'm reading through your bio, as we're setting these interviews up, I'm thinking, you're the director of the Kabbalah Research Institute. I'm going, we couldn't have picked a better person for this program today, because that in and of itself is fascinating. But tell us how you began this particular work, but why you chose these two particular, I will call them artifacts for lack of a better terms.
Okay.
Why you chose these two?
Well, let me tell you a little about my background. About 20 years ago, I met Manly P. Hall. Do you know who he is?
Yes, very familiar.
He's one of the great, great thinkers of our time. Mm-hmm. He's probably the Pythagoras of today, except he died about 5 years ago, and he wrote over 200 books. And I came to the Hall's house about three times a week, maybe sometimes four times a week, just to be with them, because I was so honored to be with Manly. He was so great in our universe, and I learned so much from him. And one of the things that he wrote about was the Ark of the Covenant. And when I started writing, I referred to him a lot and to get a lot of material, but it seemed to come together in a very interesting way. And people, I found, do not understand what the Ark of the Covenant means. What the Ark of the Covenant means, it's God's laws that were given to us, and they were put in an ark, and they called it the Ark of the Covenant. But there's the original laws of God. So in this book, I trace where they were given, how they were given, and through the ages as up to today.
Mm-hmm. I understand, too, that even there are those down through history who actually believe that at one time that God actually resided within the box, that within the ark.
That I don't know. I've never heard that.
Yeah. But then you also have the Holy Grail, which has more of a medieval,
Holy Grail is another word for the stories of the ark.
Mm, okay.
That's the Holy Grail story.
And are you familiar with, of course, the book that came out a few years back, obviously, The Da Vinci Code, and they talked a lot about Mary Magdalene and,
yes,
of course, the images of Da Vinci, etc.?
They got pieces of it right, but it was mostly fiction.
But it brought people's awareness to it.
But it opened up people's eyes.
Yes.
Well, this book is the truth. It was researched, and like I say, Manly P. Hall was probably the most outstanding scholar on our earth. He's gone now. And he was valued by millions of people, and he had a large center where he lectured every Sunday, and he gave classes. And I was very close. I was in their house, like I say, several times a week, and I was honored to ask. They asked me to start the Veritat Foundation for them, which was I would invite about 20 people to their house once a month, and then these 20 people could ask questions of Manly and Marie, and Manly Marie would speak for about a half hour. And I became so close over the many, many years that I was in their home that he really inspired me to write this.
Wow. Sort of a devotee of Manly P. Hall.
Well, he was a great person.
Yeah.
Great person. And
wrote some great stuff.
and I wrote through his material. I found a lot of, you know, things that excited me.
Mm.
And I found that we were all off base. The laws of God are what was given to us, but we're not really fulfilling them.
Well, now, there would be those who would say that, you say the laws, plural, of God,
yes,
actually can be codified down into, of course, the Golden Rule.
There are 33 laws of God that
okay.
were given to us. And actually, I have a partner now, Sherry Mariotto, who's a very good psychic, excellent, just the best in Los Angeles that I've ever come across.
Mm-hmm.
And she is bringing the laws through as they were originally given. And we're going to, you know, call that book. It will be out in about another couple months. We're going to give it to Divorce to publish. It's going to be called The Ark of the Covenant, God's Laws.
Well, we'll have you back to talk about that particular book when it does come
yeah.
out. I want to let our listeners know that this particular book that we're talking about today, Ark of the Covenant and Holy Grail, is available through divorce.com. That's DEVORSE.com, or you can call toll-free 800-843-5743. If you're interested in getting a copy, you'll receive a 25% discount off of Henrietta's book for the rest of this month of September, which means you have until Tuesday. If you're interested in this work, please take advantage of it. It's as we've always said, Henrietta, to our listeners, we just put the information out on the table. We ask that you at least take a look at it. I mean, it can't hurt anything to at least consider the possibilities that are being presented before you. It could profoundly change your life. We just don't know.
Well, this book weaves the story of the mysteries which have to do with the Ark of the Covenant, which is God's laws. It has to do with its locations, its contents, and its meanings, and the powerful concealed secrets in the royal family of Christ is also in this book. Because Christ was a part of it. He carried this book to Glastonbury later on, and I tell about that in the latter part of the book.
So you are one who believes that Jesus actually lived beyond the crucifixion?
I researched it, and yes, I believe that he was put on the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea, his uncle, took him off the cross. Everybody thought he died. He took him off the cross and put him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb till he could get strong for a few days, and then when he recovered, they called that the awakening, that he was then taken by Joseph of Arimathea out of the area because it was too dangerous to stay there, and he was taken first to France, where, it, again, it wasn't the right place, it was too dangerous. And then he was taken to Glastonbury, and that's a phenomenal story. They took the Ark of the Covenant with them, the copy of the Ark of the Covenant, and they took it to Glastonbury, where it's buried today. And what happened, I went to Glastonbury after I found this out, and there's all kinds of stories about how Christ was there and how he lectured there and how he talked there and how he was there, and then he left. And where he went after that, I don't know. But I do know that he was taken off of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten such a valid places where I found this that there's no doubt in my mind that that happened.
Before we take our first break, I want to ask you about the connection with Mary Magdalene, because she is reported,
yes,
at least in the Bible, to have been,
yes,
the first person to see him and know who he was.
Yes.
The men didn't. At first.
I think they were very, very close. And I think the reason they went to France, Joseph Arimathea took Christ to France first, because Mary Magdalene was in France at that time. And I don't think she came to Glastonbury with him. But they were extremely close. There was a relationship there.
Mm.
Yes, and the book tells about that, and it gives a lot of information about that.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we continue with Henrietta Bernstein and the book, The Holy Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail, and we'll continue here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We are streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. Just click on the link right there at the top of the page, right-hand side. This program will be available for your listening enjoyment and edification following this broadcast here at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And we encourage you to check us out, richarddugan.com. Views expressed are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership of this station. Stay tuned. Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are talking with Henrietta Bernstein, and she has written a book called Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail. Two of probably the most infamous articles or symbols, and some people say literally they exist. Henrietta also believes that in human history, and people have been searching for both. For centuries, to say the very least. Well, we are hopefully going to add some light to your search here on Tell Me Your Story. I want you to stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and my guest is Henrietta Bernstein, and we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, and those things that take us to a place that, well, we all can achieve, and that is the understanding and the awareness of the truth. I've heard different definitions of the truth, the word the truth. It's what you get people to believe, but we're not basing the truth on what we believe any more than we're trying to take a look at the facts that people are finding. And you have to make up your own mind. That's what it's all about. And Henrietta, it's again a pleasure to have you on the program. Give us a little more background on Henrietta Bernstein, and when did you begin your search? I began mine at 17, reading different books. But you were blessed to be in the presence of Manly P. Hall, which is wonderful.
Yes, but nothing is accidental. I was put there for a reason, mm-hmm. and maybe it was so that I could write this book and straighten people's minds out. When you hear the word Ark of a Covenant, you don't know what Ark is, you know. But the Ark actually is God's laws.
Okay.
And this is what this book tries to straighten people out on.
Well, you didn't start with Manly P. Hall. You started many, many years earlier. You were talking, we were sharing about the Kabbalah Primer.
I started that 25 years ago, yes. Well, when I finished the Kabbalah Primer, it just came off the press, I took a copy to a meeting that I was having with Marie and Manly Hall, and Manly loved the book. So that's the thing that got me in.
Okay.
That's the thing that they opened their eyes, and they asked me to come around, and from then on, they were both very good friends.
Well, of course, we all know that there is no, you don't step out of a vacuum into a position. You had progression. But can you define a place in your time in your life when you were very much aware that this is the path I need to be on, this is the direction that I need to go?
I think it happened 25 years ago.
Okay.
Exactly. In other words, when I wrote this book, and I wasn't writing a book. I was explaining the laws. I was explaining Bill Eisen's book.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened, all of a sudden, I wrote a Kabbalah book, which was simple. He was teaching Kabbalah at my house. But my friends here didn't understand. So I was just trying to write a simple thing so that they would understand. Well, what that simple thing was, the Kabbalah Primer, became a book, and I researched and researched. This was before I met Manly. And then when I gave that to Manly when I first met them, he loved the book. He thought it was great.
So the Ark of the Covenant, let's go ahead and start with the Ark itself and describe, if you will, in more detail, what is it that, we are talking about a physical box that contains documents?
We're talking about laws that were given to us by God, and they were buried, and they were called the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
They were brought to Egypt by Moses. In the book, it traces how they got where, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they are actually written laws from very, very ancient times that have come through. Now, many people have the misconception that the Ark of the Covenant was a boat, but it's not. That's a misconception.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that got mixed into it.
Well,
but it's the laws of God, and they were brought through one country to the other because they had to, in other words, people were disturbed, you know, that something from God came in.
Mm.
So they ended up in what is now Israel, and they were taken out. There are copies of them probably all over the world. I'm not sure mm-hmm. exactly where. But they were taken out to all countries. And Joseph of Arimathea, like I say, had the original box where the laws are.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Christ went to Glastonbury with them. Now, I go in much more detail in this book mm-hmm. that we're talking about.
Sure. What's the difference between the laws of God, a.k.a. the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down off the Mount?
Yeah, it's different. It's not the same. There's 33 laws of God, and there's Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
I can't repeat the 33 to you today. It won't take too much time.
Sure.
How can I say it? They're laws that will... Now, let's say this. The new book that I'm writing is on these laws, but what it does, and we, in this new book, there are the 33 laws written out very carefully, but people have misinterpreted these laws throughout the centuries, and the laws that came through Sherry, my psychic friend,
mm-hmm.
are all so new, I don't know if they're exactly what you call new, but so explained in such a wonderful way that when these laws are understood by all people, there will be one faith in the world, and that will be the laws of God, not this religion and that religion and fighting this blah and blah. And as there's the laws of God are what has to bring the world together. And I explained a little about the new generation of children.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be in that generation when it begins.
Well, and of course, you know, having researched and studied and been amongst all the different religions of the world down through the years, that there are those religions who would fear or be very concerned about even speaking of the creation thereof of a one-world religion, no matter how it comes about.
Yes, I know that.
Okay.
But
you say it anyway.
In a sense, when you write like that, you're sort of appointed to do that.
Yeah.
And you realize that mm-hmm. it's not said in words, but it's said in action.
Okay. So we have the Ark of the Covenant. We have a very good explanation thereof, that it is the laws of God. There, as you've said, are 33, and you're working on a book to help us to understand the 33 laws of God.
The new book has the 33 laws mm-hmm. actually in it.
So let's talk about the Holy Grail. What is a grail, and why is this one holy?
All right. The Holy Grail is just another word for the laws of God.
Okay.
And that was just another word. There are many words used,
mm-hmm.
and I can't tell you all of them. But it just means the laws of God.
Now, is it absolutely, positively necessary for us to actually find the physical ark? Or you're obviously writing the 33 laws in this new book.
Well, I think that it's the old ark is buried in Glastonbury,
mm-hmm.
and I think Christ and Joseph of Arimathea took it there, because when I went to Glastonbury personally, there are so many signs that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, they're not going to say to me, you know, well, it's over there.
Right.
So I had to just read the signs as I examined all of Glastonbury. But yes, it is in Glastonbury, the old ark. But that's not what's important. What's important is what's in those laws,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're bringing forth in this new book.
Okay.
Sherry has channeled those 33 laws again. They're going to be out there for people to read and live by, and we are hoping that the whole world will make a transformation into one religion, which is the laws of God.
Interesting. Very interesting. When you first began your spiritual journey, where were you? What were you born into a traditional...
Oh, I was Jewish.
Yeah, okay.
And I had been in some classes that were very interesting. I live in Los Angeles, and I knew I wanted to find something, but I didn't know what it was. And I went to classes at UCLA that on spirituality, anything they had. I went to classes all over the valley, and I live in Beverly Hills, and I went to class anything on the west side of town for a couple years. And then I was sitting in a house on a holiday where a lady sitting next to me says, "What do you do?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm looking for answers to everything." And she said, "Well, why don't you come to a place where I go?" And I said, "Where is that?" She says, "The Gaishin Temple." And I said, "What is that?" And she says, "Well, this great medium, Richard Zinner, brings teachers through from the other side." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yes." And so I said, "Well, I'd love to go." And so the following week when she went, I went too. And I went for several years till Richard Zinner died, and I learned a great deal. So that was kind of my religion, you might say. I was in the Jewish religion with my family, but my religion, you might call my religion a worldly religion, because I had learned so many things about the world through this. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, as I started the program out discussing symbols, I mean, our alphabet is nothing more than symbols. They're just characters that represent certain things. What I found so fascinating in my study of the Hebrew alphabet or aleph-bet was the fact that each of those characters of the 22 had an unbelievable, shall we say, legend to it on top of color scale and tone and vibration and story.
That's in my... my other book, the one on the Kabbalah, but that's not in this new book.
Sure, I understand. Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of understanding what a symbol is and how it impacts us as a people, that seems to be that some symbols are obviously have different meanings for every person. I mean, you have 6 billion people, you can have 6 billion different meanings of a particular symbol. Do you see that there's the possibility that we're all going to be able to come to a unified understanding of a single symbol, let alone 33 laws?
I don't know. That's not what I really talk about in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to read my Kabbalah primer, if anybody wants to read it, that will tell more about what you're talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's available through Divorce.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, just a reminder that if you're interested in a copy of the book, which is entitled Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail, The Symbolism Behind the Mystery, my guest, of course, the author, Henrietta Bernstein, and it's available through Divorce. That's www.devorss. There is no E at the end. That's devorss.com. You can also call toll-free 800-843-5743. And between now and the end of September, which is only a few days away, you can receive a 25% discount on the title of this particular title through that publishing company if it's something that kind of resonates with you. When you lecture on this subject of the Holy Grail and the Ark of the Covenant and on these 33 laws, as you have obviously been doing for this book, what kind of responses do you get? Do you get a lot of resistance?
No. People only come because they want to hear.
Okay. You don't get hecklers. You don't get people who say you're misrepresenting, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I try and make it understandable for everybody. And there's nothing here that people could, rebel against. It's merely explaining the laws of God.
Mm-hmm. About your family and their reception to this information?
They think it's great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No reason why not. Most people that read either the Kabbalah book or this book, they come out learning something after they've finished. And I think when people do that, they feel like it's been worthwhile.
Well, I know that again, as we continue to discuss these symbols, if you will, are of great meaning and importance to a lot of people around the world. I know that you had discussed the current generation. I guess you said your granddaughter or grandson learned how to work on the computer even before they went to school.
Yes, the new generation of children coming in my family, and I'm sure in other families, are very, very brilliant. They go beyond this generation. That's what I have found.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure there's others, children, you know, that are okay, just middle of the road. But there's many, many that are very, very brilliant.
Well, you're basically giving a clear and uncoded as well as an unscripted piece of information regarding uncovering the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is, and then there's also, I'm pronouncing this correctly, the Rosicrucian Vaults and the Esoteric Writings of philosopher Manly P. Hall, as you've already described.
Yes, yes.
So are you finding that all of this information seems to all go in the same direction?
Yes, yes. I think it's being... you know, I think it's being handed down to us from upstairs so that our world can clean up. In other words, our world needs to be a better place. Right now, we're in a mess. There's
mm-hmm.
so many wars, and everybody's objecting to that one, and you can't, you know. So I think that's why it's being handed down now to try and straighten things out.
I'm curious, these particular pieces of information, whether it be the Ark, the Dead Sea Scrolls, Rosicrucian Vaults, et cetera, all of these ancient pieces of information have been around for a number of centuries. And, of course, in the last, say, century, century and a half, when we've really had the technology to really study them, do you feel like you're one of the first that's been able to put these puzzle pieces together?
No, I'm not one of the first. Like I say, I don't know how many there were before me, but I do know that Manly P. Hall, he wrote over 200 books, and I got a lot of information from him. And there's others that I got information from, and I put that information into my book.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I had to research to get the information. I didn't pull it out of the sky.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. Yeah. It was more in terms of when you put the pieces together, do you see yours as a unique compilation of that information?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I think people will be interested in it because, like I say, times are changing.
Well, that is a fact. That is true. Things are moving in directions that a lot of folks didn't even anticipate moving.
That's right.
There are those who are also looking for sort of an enlightened an age of ascension, if you will, that, you know, maybe we'll go through a new renaissance, but more in a more spiritual and more esoteric way. Do you see us in that context yet, or
well,
at all?
I think what's happening, in other words, books like this are now starting to open up people's minds. Now, I don't know how many are reading books like this. You know, my book's getting pretty good attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the purpose of these books, to open up that the fact that God did give us laws. They could call the Ark of the Covenant. They were direct laws. All right, these books, now the book here that I'm talking about today, it tells the various places that this Ark of the Covenant was carried and how it was done through the centuries. This is very old that it came in, a very, very long time ago. And it tells how it was brought down to now Glastonbury, where it resides,
mm-hmm.
the book itself. But the stories are out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I try and tell that story. Now, like I say, my mentor, you might say, Manly P. Hall, was one of the most brilliant souls on earth. And I would have thousands of people agree with me with that. Anyone that knows him or heard of him, he lectured at his Philosophical Research Society every Sunday and gave classes, and he was brilliant. So a lot of it has been learned by me, and I put the pieces together.
Hmm. That's fascinating. I want you to stay with us. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Henrietta Bernstein. She's the author of Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail, and we're talking about the symbolism and the mystery behind all of this. And the book, of course, is available at the various bookstores. It's available online. It's available through the publisher, Divorce. I'll give you that website in just a moment. And we want you to stay tuned. This program will also be available online at richarddugan.com, and we hope that you will stay with us. More coming up here on Tell Me Your Story. Don't go away. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay with us. We have more coming. That website where you can pick up a copy of Henrietta Bernstein's book is at divorce.com, D-E-V-O-R-S-S.com, or toll-free 843-3255. 800-843-5743. That's 800-843-5743. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the staff, management, ownership, or advertisers of this station. We encourage you to stay tuned. Send me an email. I'll give you that in just a moment. Tell me your story. I'm Richard Dugan. Henrietta Bernstein is telling us her story about the Holy Grail and the Ark of the Covenant and her beginnings of her search and seeking and finding. And I remember not only a phrase, if a man begins in doubt, he will end in certainty. But if he begins in certainty, he will most certainly end in doubt. I think I would much rather be the former rather than the latter, continuing to ask questions, and that's what we're doing here with Henrietta. You mentioned, of course, a profound gentleman in your life, and that was Manly P. Hall, who, wrote the book As a Man Thinketh, and we were chatting about that a little bit during the break.
Manly wrote 200 books.
Wow.
And each one is a treasure. All right, but now I want to say that the Ark ended up in Glastonbury with Joseph of Arimathea and Christ. And it ended up in Glastonbury because it was known that Glastonbury would never be ravaged by war. And this treasure was not returned to the Holy Land because the disturbances now happening were foreseen. It is predicted that when the Ark of Solomon's Temple returns to Jerusalem, it will be our second opportunity to raise our sights to the Christ consciousness, the beginning of the new golden age. Okay?
Interesting.
All right.
So tell me more. Hold on, please. So tell me more about your searching over the years, especially since your writing of the book, The Kabbalah Primer.
Well, I began just to tell people what I knew about Kabbalah from my friend Bill Eisen, and who had already written a book on Kabbalah, and he was lecturing at my house. But when I started writing, it became a book, and it's probably one of the simplest books on Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a very deep subject, but I wrote it in the simplest of ways. And it's been on the market for 25 years, and it's still doing great as far as sales go, because people are getting a lot out of it. And that's all I can say about it.
Well, I know that a lot of people have, they'd love to have the experiences that you've had, especially being around someone of note, such as a Manly P. Hall.
That's right.
You know, we'd all love to have those experiences. And I, again, not to minimize his work or even yours, but all we have left is, of course, his books, which are a wonderful treasure in and of themselves. But that experience of being in the presence of someone like that, and gleaning from them and absorbing everything that they have to say.
Well, I would go over there with my friend, William Dodson, who was an astrologer. Every Sunday, my husband would go out on his boat, so I would hop over to the Hall's house, and we would sit around a little round table, and I could ask any question I want of Marie or Manly, and they would answer. And so any questions I had, I got the best people on earth to answer. Hmm. And then afterwards, they gave us about an hour, and then they had invited us out for dinner, or I took them to dinner, and we made a social evening. And then we would go over to the Philosophical Research Society. Marie didn't go. It was Manly and my astrologer friend and myself. And Manly would pile a book on Kabbalah in front of me, about 10 books, and then he would pull 10 in front of astrology on my friend. And then we would sit there and talk about it. So it was very personal, and it was really wonderful.
Mm.
So that's all I can say about that.
Wow. Well, I know that, again, we all have our little gatherings that we collect different people that we like to meet with and chat about all the different esoteric
well,
and spiritual
just,
and metaphysical things.
I'm just telling
things.
You about one of the Pythagoras of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a wonderful, wonderful person. And I'm not the only one that thought of him like that.
Well, and even the people who read him today feel the same way.
That's right.
And yet there are also many other writers and philosophers and scholars and people of note who impact our lives. And
yes. Well, now, Manly P. Hall, right before he died, they had what they call a Philosophical Research Society Bulletin. And he wrote in that bulletin that I was supposed to write the book on his life. So I haven't begun that yet because, like I say, I'm writing on the laws of God, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
But I plan, I started it, and I will finish it in the next year or two.
Mm. So we have basically a biography, if you will.
Will
it be your autobiography?
I'm calling it My Friend, Manly P. Hall.
Nice. Very nice.
But it's not on the market yet, and I've only written a little in it because I've been busy writing these other books on God's laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're very important because people, if they have an understanding of God's laws, life can be made very easy.
We're talking with Henrietta Bernstein. She's the author of the present book that is out. It's called Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail, The Symbolism Behind the Mystery. And it is available through the Divorce Press. And that is at EEVORSS.com. You can also order the book through a toll-free number and you receive a 25% discount between now and the end of September. 800-843-5743. 800-843-5743. And we are delving into these different areas because these types of subjects can make a big impact on the consciousness as people begin, and you even expressed that people are beginning to understand. They're wanting to read books like this because they, I guess, are tired of the drama. They're tired of the way things are, and they want something greater and better for themselves and the rest of the people of the world.
Yeah. Well, I believe what you're saying is correct.
So when we begin the process of opening up Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail, the steps, you had mentioned that this documents the path that the Holy Grail has taken to where it's ended up in Scotland, is that correct?
Glastonbury is England.
England, okay. Same island, different country. But nonetheless, is the path relevant at all? Or is just
say that again?
Is the path that it took, is there any relevance to that path? Is there any meaning?
Well, like I said, that when Joseph of Arimathea mm-hmm. had been a merchant, and he had a boat, and he was going all over the areas, and that was the safest area that he knew of. So that's why he took Christ. And the story of Christ in Glastonbury, the story of Christ before that on the cross and how he was taken off the cross and buried till he could come back and then taken out of Israel is a very interesting story. And it's all in my book.
Are any of the secret societies involved in any of this that we've read about, or are those all fictitious as well?
I don't know. I don't know which secret society you're talking about.
Well, I mean, there are numerous ones that have been mentioned. For example, I mentioned earlier the Da Vinci Code and so forth.
Well, the Da Vinci Code was, I feel, it was a lot of it was fiction.
Mm-hmm.
knowing the really truthful story, I don't feel that book. I think it was a popular book, but mm-hmm. I believe a lot of it was fiction.
Well, I know that it was its presentation. It was fiction, but it was supposedly using some facts throughout, and of course it was hard to tell. I mean, unless you knew the history.
I didn't put anything in my book that was fiction.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it was researched so well, and it took me about 5 years to research it.
And did this take you on quite a number of travels around the world?
Well, I did done that. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I did travel quite a bit, but I also had sources, which I name in the book,
mm-hmm.
where I found the information that were authentic.
And were you given easy access to some of the information as you were doing your travels?
When I went to Glastonbury, there was no problems, but I had to look for the signs. Mm-hmm. That Christ was there, and it wasn't hard. I describe it all in my book.
Okay. And again, the title of the book is Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail, the Symbols Behind the Mystery. And so in one sense, you are in the process of, through this book, you're demystifying that this is not something that's...
Yeah, the title again is Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail, period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they've tacked on...
Message for the New Millennium.
Okay. 21st century.
Coming up.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, here we are. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you see on the horizon for us as humans in this regard? I mean, are you optimistic?
Well, I'm very optimistic. I don't feel that any of my publications would have happened if Spirit didn't want them to be on the earth plane now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I believe that I'm not the only one writing in this direction. But it's not just the writing. I think it's happening. But we have to get so bad that it can't be worse, and then we'll get good. So I think that's what it's all about. We're at a very dark point right now, and we're going to search for some light.
I've often said to people that if the earth were to hold a workshop, it would be on crisis management, because that seems to be what we do best.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But it'd be nice to be able to take care of some of the issues before they become crises.
Well, I feel that this book that we're talking about today, Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail, opens up some new thoughts for people. In other words, it tells where the laws of God have been all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then, like I say, I'm writing a new book with a great psychic, Sherry Mariotto, and we're bringing these laws through as they should be today. And they're phenomenal. And that will help people live a better life, and the world will become a better place. Because if individuals could live a better life, then the world becomes a better place.
Hmm. Well, that's really what we're all about here. New paradigms for a new world, giving people choices and knowledge of those choices to help them fulfill their dreams.
That's true.
Be that a peaceful world or a peaceful home front, whatever the case might be.
Well, I feel very honored that that I've had the ability to write this kind of material to help people out. Now, I don't know how many people in the world will read it, but I'm hoping that it opens the eyes for a lot of people and let them know that it's really a good place. God's really taking care of us. He's given us good laws. We just have to follow them.
As we've heard many times, we've got all the stuff we need.
Yeah.
Just got to put it into the right context.
That's right, Richard.
Absolutely.
That's correct. Well, it's nice of you, because you're helping people, because a lot of people, I'm sure, are tuning into your programs, and they're getting some ideas of what's going on.
Well, and of course, what we do stay away from here on this program is we stay away from a lot of the negatives. We can get the news at the top and the bottom of the hours in different places and different sources, but we all know what's happening. So let's start talking about the things that can make a difference and make a change.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what my career has been about.
Well, I sure want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. It's been a pleasure having you, and we do look forward to the next book. Is there already a title for it? Is it just The Laws of God, or has that been worked out yet?
It's called God's Laws, One Faith for All People.
Okay, and we look forward to that coming out. Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail is the present book out by Henrietta Bernstein, available again through divorce.com, DEVORSS.com. 25% off of the price of the book if you order before or by the end of September 2008. And this program is also going to be available online at richarddugan.com if you'd like to listen to that. And again, Henrietta, I do appreciate the time you've taken to share with us here on the program.
It's been a pleasure, Richard. I think we're through, right?
We are. We've come to the end of the program. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for inviting me.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that is Henrietta Bernstein. That's Henrietta Bernstein. Again, the book is called Ark of the Covenant, Holy Grail. And I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. We're going to have a fun time. I consider it fun next week, because we're going to have an opportunity to revisit AIM. And that's EMC Squared. It has to do with Sanctuary, a book by Stephen Lewis. And he's going to be joining us again for our program next week. As we understand the vibrations, if you will, of the human body and how he has developed a program, it's called AIM. It's an energetic matrix that helps to, what's the best way I can put this? Counter the negative waves, or the waves of potential harm and disease in the body. And we're going to be talking and getting further clarification about that here on the program next week with, again, Stephen Lewis. He is the author of the book Sanctuary, and he is also the founder of Energetic Matrix. We'll be talking about the AIM program. Actually, it's the AIM Scholarship Programs, as well as EMC Squared, and we'll be talking about that as we continue on the program. This is Tell Me Your Story. I am Richard Dugan, and I thank you so much for joining us here as we bring you, as we like to say quite often, new paradigms for a new world, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. My wife and I have been dreaming of some new things, and they are starting to take fruition. It's quite exciting. We'll share those with you as the weeks and months progress, as we head into, this is the first program of the fall, and we're headed into our second year here with Tell Me Your Story. So we certainly hope that you will join us here on the program. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you for, again, joining us here on Tell Me Your Story. Tell Me Your Story is available at richarddugan.com, richarddugan.com, and you can also email me, richard@richarddugan.com. Again, thank you for joining us. Love to all, and you have yourselves a great weekend. Talk to you next week. Stephen Lewis will be our guest.